of the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're in chapter 9. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
He danced before the Lord. Why? Because he was so ecstatic. You know, right now you and I have the opportunity to please God, and we can get ahead of Him. We can anticipate Him. When Jehoshaphat went into the valley and they were singing, "Praise ye the Lord, His mercy endures forever," he was getting ahead of Him because God says, "You're going to be okay. I'm going to fight. You're not going to have to do any fighting." And so He says, let's sing. So what I'm saying is what He's telling us is you have a chance, and this word for work here in verse 7 has the idea of a similar word in the New Testament, poema. It means like a poem, a masterpiece. And this has the idea of structuring a poem. Your life can be a song. Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No token prayers and no white lies. See, we're talking about that kind of thing. You can begin to create a poem called your life. The Bible says, God now accepts your works. Now. Don't you want to do it now? You know, if you wait and Jesus comes, it's over, done. You can't do it anymore. Now God accepts your works. You can write a poem. Find somebody and love on them for Jesus. Show them Jesus. You got one person in your life? Show them Jesus. It's kind of an interesting story about these guys who were in Vietnam. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but they were in Vietnam. They were stationed somewhere in some little city, and they had this little servant boy in their midst, and he would bring things in, but they would always pick on him. They would trip him when he'd walk in. They'd put, you know, mess on top of him, some kind of a mess in a bucket, and he'd walk in, the bucket would pour on him and everything else. And it was miserable. But one day, they'd heard a message, and they knew things were getting pretty hard, and they finally got right with the Lord. And they went to that little boy and said, "Son, we're going to not pick on you anymore." He says, "You mean no more tripping me?" "Yeah, no more making fun. He said, "No more things over the door falling on my head?" "No, none of that. We're done. We really feel bad about that." He says, "Okay, no more spit and soup." So, you know, we got a thing going on with our world. We got to be careful about it, right? The world in which we live sometimes feels like we are tripping them. We need to love them. And that's hard because it has to be intentional because of certain kind of rights that have gotten on us. We think we have our rights when really what we have is our responsibilities. He says, "Go now, for God now accepts your works." Look at verse 8. It says, "Let thy garments be always white, let thy head lack no ointment." The word white means you need to have purity in your life. You know, you're not pure if you're unforgiving in your spirit. You know that? That is one of the worst things that will undo us. The Bible says, "Let no root of bitterness well up in us, and by it many be defiled." Right? Bitterness really does kind of taint everything, doesn't it? You know, we all love to have the grandkids over to give them a big slice of lemon. Because their faces go really weird, you know. But they always go back for more. Isn't that funny? You ever notice that? My grandkids always look like, "That's crazy. What just happened there?" And they'll get some more. And I don't like bitter things. But funny thing is it may be a little lesson there for us. Somehow bitterness serves us. Doesn't it? Unforgiving. I'm getting some sort of a reward in that situation. When in reality, what I have to do is I have to let it go so I can perhaps help them come to know Jesus. And if it's among the believers, many can be defiled. But the fact is if it's among the believers, the lost is looking at that. There ought to be a fluidity about the body of Christ. We are supposed to be of one mind and one heart, right? But, you know, be all of one mind. Let this mind be in you. He wants us not only to have purity, but he also says, "Let your head lack no ointment," and that would represent power. Anointing your head with oil. Oil was always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So let your head lack no ointment. Why? Because God wants you to have power. He wants you to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then he says this. He says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. Now, this is interesting because the words for live joyfully literally should be translated, see with your wife. In other words, look at it with your wife. I've got like five translations who got this right, and they put it this way. One of them is Young's Literal, but let me give them to you. One of them says, see life with the wife which thou didst love. Do you know, I started out by saying marriage is hard. It's hard work. Why? Because you got two sinners in the room. And everybody's all for themselves. When they get married, then they learn a little bit about giving, and then they try it, and sometimes it doesn't even work. It's hard. Maybe somebody gets it, but the other one doesn't. And you're going to have to work through that from here to home. But the Bible says that we're supposed to have purity, and we're supposed to have power. We're supposed to remember that there's living dogs out there that need a witness. There's hope for them, and you've got a work to do. And when he gives us this word about marriage, at the conclusion of the book, he's telling us that we need to see life with our wife. Why? Because those people need to see the harmony that takes place in your life. And it's incumbent upon you as a woman, it's incumbent upon you as a man to love and have power and have purity in your life. Because if you don't have it, the living dog will become a dead lion. You see, I want to be very honest with you. Somebody has well pointed out, the hardest things in life are held off to the end. There's things along the way that kind of blow us away a little bit, but we have plenty of time to recover. We got work, we got vitality, we can distract ourselves. But the reality is, as we get older, we only have to think about the things that are right in front of us. And you maybe have heard this, but when somebody is diminishing in their final days, many times you'll find, as people have studied this, that the family many times will be in the room real close until they get the final word, and eventually they'll start stepping across the room and sitting across the room, and eventually sometimes they'll be out in the hall. Okay? Because they just withdraw, and that person's all alone. Now, that may happen in a marriage as well. And I just want you to know that the mandate is still true. When it says joyfully, the word is translated joy sometimes, but the word in its essence means to see. Because when you're in joy, in a joyful disposition, you're seeing clearly. But the word is see. Several translations point it out. One says, see life with the wife which you did love all the days of your life. The other one says, see life with the wife whom thou hast loved all the days of thy life. You remember this, the Bible says why this would be true in the same book. In Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. Put it in your margin by that live joyfully thing. Because this is where he says two are better than one. For they have good reward for their labor, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe be unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and the threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, what I'm trying to point out here is that the reason God would have us in our life, have our garments white, purity, have our heads anointed, and to live seeing with the wife of our youth, is because we are a team. Guys, listen. It's going to be hard, sometimes harder than others, right? We've all been there. If we've been married for any amount of time at all, there have been times when you've been on one side of the room, and she's been on the other, or he's been on the other. And it's been hard. And you've learned that there are certain buttons not to push and certain things not to say or whatever. And that's hard. And if we're only living as earthbound and we have no view of heaven, then there may never be a reason to get back close to each other again. But we need one another. Hard life, yes. Vanity, yes. But because we have a mission, we become co-laborers together. Creating a work, creating a poem, realizing that as a woman, your job is this to your husband. As a man, your job is this to your wife. And what I want to say, when we come to times like Valentine's Day, don't say, oh, it's a Hallmark holiday, I don't do anything. Listen, knock it off. Can I say that? If that's the disposition, you love your wife. I remember one time I had a girlfriend, and my girlfriend and I were in the church, and we had a little falling out. And the preacher took both of us in the side room. I remember to this day, he says, you two knock it off. because I was a little bit of a firebrand in the church, and because this was happening, everybody was noticing. Do you realize that when you're not behaving yourself for Jesus, you are diminishing the testimony of Christ? I'm telling you what, I hate seeing marriages fall apart. I hate seeing people really losing the plot, letting the vanity of this life get on them. People looking for the door. People saying, I can't take it anymore. Life's too short. No. Life is very short. It's like a vapor. You need to get it right now. And I just want you to not be bitter. You know, the Bible talks about husbands, love your wives, and don't be bitter against them. That is in Colossians. To the wife, it says, wives, see that you respect your husbands. Love and respect. These are huge. Don't let the vanity of life get on you. Don't let the vanity of it get on you. Let your garments be always white. Let your head lack no ointment. Live seeing with the wife of your youth, whom you loved in your days of this vanity of this earth. For that is your portion, verse 9 says. That is your share. That is your territory in this life. He says, and in the labor which you take under the sun. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave whither you go. And may I say to you, you dance with the one you brung. And when you do that, you honor the God who sees. And He, back to verse 1, has your works in His hands. Why? Because He cares about the living dog. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You and I are to be echoes of that fact. When the Bible calls the believers Christians, it was because they were Christ-like. And when we are godly, we absorb the consequences of somebody else's sin. Just like Jesus absorbed the consequences of my sin. It is hard down here. But if you can see together as a couple, you can join arm to arm. And you can attack this world and its challenges with confidence, because you know that your Redeemer liveth, and He will stand on the earth in the latter day, and you'll see Him with your own eyes and not those of another. Beloved, that's what we have. That's what makes a vain life that sometimes turns to stone, where homes go loveless, that's what makes them come back to life. You've heard the song perhaps in the contemporary world, and I'm coming back to life. You know, the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. That's what God does. Paul said we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we might not trust in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ who raises the dead. I want you to know, sometimes you're going to feel like you're dying inside. Marriage is sometimes one of the biggest causes of that, because it gets down to the bone in who we are. But it also brings out the best of who we can be if we will cooperate with the God who is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.